Give God all the praise. Choir, you blessed our souls. Amen. I'm full already, but I'll try not to fall asleep while I preach. Amen. I just want to give an honor to God, who's ahead of my life, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the founding pastor of this church, to the messenger and the pastor, an angel who has been ministering to you, Brother Kaysen, to my lovely wife, again, with for 32 years, she has put up with me. But she makes me better. And it is an honor to see some of the faces that we have loved through the years, who we have created special memories, that your lives have been etched on ours as we have ministered abroad in Cincinnati. And by the grace of God, some countries the Lord has given us opportunity to serve in. We are in a season this month whereby we're celebrating Black history, and that is good. But we're also in a season where we are to be mindful to love one another. Seasons of love. Valentine's Day, getting gifts, sharing love. And I think if the church is going to have an impact in this generation, in this moment in time, with all the hate that we see and all the war that is going on, that people might really know what true love looks like. The world is confused on that topic. Men don't know how to love their wives. People are being confused and thinking that God's love means man with man and woman with woman. That's not love. Today I want to talk to you about the gospel according to love. The gospel according to love. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to 1 John chapter 4. Once you have it, say amen. If you don't mind, will you stand with me in honor of the word of God as we read from verses 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I want you to say that with me. For God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. The gospel according to love. Let us pray. Father, we want to give you honor and praise right now. Lord, we ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit. That, Father, that we not leave out the same way that we came in, that we might be changed by the power of your word. Father, you have linked us together for this moment in time. May you be glorified, the saints edified, and the devil terrified because your word goes forth. Save someone today. Connect them back to you. Bring them back to the church. May they be restored in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When you think of the word love, what comes to mind? It is one of the most basic needs of any society. Without it, nothing in this world makes sense. I've served as a chaplain several years, and I've asked people upon the death of their loved one, if they could say something to you, what would they want you to know? And about 90% of the time, they would say they would want us to know that they loved us. When a child is born into the world, the first thing that the mother and the father feels and may even say to that child, I love you. When you think of love, what comes to mind? Without it, nothing makes sense, and everything is rendered useless, hopeless, and void of purpose and meaning. Somebody wrote a song many years ago that said, what the world needs now, and you may know the words, is what? It's the only thing, oh, that there's just too little of. Maybe you remember the words of Dionne Warwick in her version of the song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. For everyone. In the sacred text of 1 John 4:8, it tells us that God is love. Genesis 1:26-27, the Bible tells us that God created man in his image, male and female. Now that's important. And he said that he created us in his image. Now, if God is love and he created us in our image, he created us to reflect his image and that being of love. And so the image of God is love. The definition of God is love. And so what God is saying to us, that we ought to love one another because we were created for it. We were created for love and we were created in the image of love because God is love. But there was a problem. You know it, don't you? We all know the story that Adam and Eve failed to value this loving relationship and chose not to hear and obey. Now, that's important, too, to hear and obey. If you love me, Jesus says, he says what? Keep my commandments. Adam and Eve failed and the whole world had fallen into sin and death came and then hate entered into the world, prompting a need to be restored and prompting the need for mankind to be brought back into this everlasting loving relationship by way of the gospel. Now there is the first mention of the gospel in the Bible. It's in Genesis 3:15. We call it the proto-evangelium. Let's say that word one time. Say it, proto Evangelium. That means that it is the first time that the gospel is mentioned. And you know the story, talking about the seed of the woman and how Satan would bruise the heel, but the head of the serpent would be crushed by Jesus on the cross. The proto-evangelium, God in Genesis and 3:15 says, the only way that you could be restored back to me is by way of love. The gospel according to love. In the Tanakh and in the Jewish reference of this sacred idea, they have a saying called the Shema Israel. Shema means to hear and obey. See, the Jewish understanding of scripture is not that we would just hear the word, but in the Shema, you would hear with the intentions on obeying. They were not separate. They were two sides of the same coin, hearing and obeying. And the Lord says to us, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Adam and Eve were to hear and to obey out of love, but the devil came in, distorted their hearing, tempted them not to obey. The whole world is fallen into sin. Shema Israel is a Jewish prayer that is recited twice a day. It draws attention to the fact that Adam and Eve did not listen and obey. They did not fully embrace the fact that they had a relationship with a loving God. Deuteronomy 6:4 brings it to our attention when it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." You shall what? You shall love the Lord with all of thine heart and with all of thine soul. That means with everything that is within you. He created us, and it was interesting when God created Adam. You notice what he said. He said, "Let us create man in our image." And you got to say, well, who is the us? Somebody had a conversation about us. And they said, "Let us create man in our image." So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we know from 1 John 4:8 that God is love. So love said, "Let us create man in love." Then he says, you ought to love me out of that love. Love me with all your heart. Love me with all your soul. Love me with all thy might, all your strength. You say, well, what constitutes man? God wasn't, when he created us, he wasn't talking about a physical body. He created us in his image. The image was incorporeal. That means he did not have a body. He had to create out of mud and out of earth a body. But the image of God, the image of God is in the soul. It's in the mind. It's in the conscience. What makes up a person? A person has a conscience. Con meaning to, and science meaning knowledge, and the ability to know. So God took his word and said, Adam and Eve, in your ability to know, you have a conscience to obey and to hear and to obey or to disobey. You have a conscience. And then there is the emotions, the feelings. Now, we are not a feeling, but we have feelings. And then there is the soul, the invisible part of the body that God says. See, a lot of people try to love God with their bodies, but you cannot truly love God unless you have love in your soul. You got to have love in the invisible image of God that has created you, that it might be worked out and demonstrated on the outside, this love that's on the inside. So, the cornerstone doctrine of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The central theme of the gospel is the redeeming love of God for the world. And because of this redeeming love, that it was unconditional, we declare as the church and as the believers that the gospel is good news over the sinful condition of man. The gospel is good news to those of us who understood the bad news. The bad news that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The bad news that we were condemned in that state without a Savior. The bad news that one would spend all of eternity in hell without the love of God. So God said, I'll send love down. I'll send love down to redeem you. Yes, we declare that the gospel is good news, because we realize that we can only be saved by that good news. There is no greater need in this world today than that four-letter word, L-O-V-E. Am I right about it? Love in our English language is generally expressed in three small words. Can you help me with it? I love you. But we sometimes do not fully understand the meaning of this love. God was able to express that love in one word called Calvary. Calvary was God saying, I love you. Yes. But do we really know the meaning of the word as God expressed it on Calvary? Calvary had an echo. Jesus was shouting out every beating blow. He was shouting out, I love you, with every rejection, with every lie that was told about him, with every crack of the whip, with every strike of the nail, with every evil word, until he breathed his last. He was saying, I love you. That is the gospel according to love. It's all rooted in the cross. You say, well, Pastor, what do God want us to know today? Number one, that the love of God is defined as God. The love of God is defined as God. Now I know that some folk, they can contend with that. They say, I don't know about that. If you were to ask many people what is the definition of love, they wouldn't know. Or they would have their own definition of love that is far from what the Bible says is love. Some people say that love is a song. A group called Foreigner had a song that says, I want to know what love is. I know you can show me. Tina Turner said, what's love got to do. Percy Sledge said, when a man loves a woman, he'll spend his very last dime. Luther said, here and now. Look at y'all. Look, y'all gone. Come on back. Y'all will get ready to fill in the rest of the, what's the rest of the words? Y'all know it. Don't get spiritual. Maybe that was your definition of love. Maybe it was like mine, like Teddy. Turned off the lights. Light up. Okay. I'm not the only one that was a sinner. Enough of that. Love is not a song, but many of us think it is. Like Keith Sweat, make it last forever. Some of y'all got some songs, and all your love was wrapped up in that song. Am I right about it? Some say love is a feeling that you can't explain. Some say it is an idea or an abstract concept and is philosophical in nature. The problem with love being understood at this level is that many people have opinions and feelings come and go. Therefore, relationships which are rooted and need to be rooted and bound in love will not hold together. They cannot be sustained or maintain because feelings change, opinions change, but love, true love, remains the same. If love is God, we understand that God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Love doesn't change. People change, situations change. Problems change, but God doesn't change. Yes. I wonder, do we know what the meaning of love is? Love is not a song. Love is not a feeling. But the Greeks have other definitions of love. The Greeks say, well, you can express love in the word eros. They had four different versions of love, actually five. Eros is where we get the word erotica, and it is the love that is expressed between a man and a woman. Erotica, under the confinement of marriage, the way that it should be. But then there is another love called phileo. Phileo is a brotherly love. It's where we get the term where we think about the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. We are to love one another as brothers and sisters. And that love is good, but that love is limited in its capacity to fulfill a higher love. And that takes us to agape. Agape love is understanding that it is unconditional. And when Jesus went to the cross, the gospel according to love says there is no condition that man can meet or that could satisfy the righteousness of a holy God. So what God had to do is he had to send down love and show us what love looked like, and on our behalf meet the condition for what love is supposed to be, so that those of us who have not love can receive love and then give love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And if I say it the way that we understand it, what the world needs now is God, sweet God. That's what the world needs today. Yes. Maybe man's definition of love won't do. Maybe the Greek definition is limited, but not so much in the understanding of agape. But then there's God's definition of love. Love is not a song. It's not a feeling. It's not just limited to the Greek culture and understanding. God just flat out settles the matter. In 1 John 4:8, he says, I'm love. He says, I am the definition of love. God is love. And when really, when Jesus went to the cross, really what he was saying is, I, God, you. Did y'all just pick up what I put down? He said, I, God, you. And I created you in the image of God, and I, God, you. A man would tell a woman, hey, baby, you know I love you. And she smiled. Really? But when we tell somebody we love them, do we really understand what we're saying? I want us to understand something today as we look into our text. If you don't have love, you cannot love. The best you can do is like them a whole heck of a lot. Because the scripture says, he that has love is born of God. Let's read our text. God says, I, God, you cannot give to someone what you do not have. Let me get an illustration. Sister Samantha, can I use you for a minute? You just stand up here and just look pretty. Emmanuel, you come over here. You stand over there next to her. Now, Emmanuel's going to be the unsaved brother. And you know your routine. Now, y'all just going to ad-lib with me a little bit. Do what you would do when you did what you did. Now, that was just too easy. I work a little bit harder than that. Brother got some skills. So here it is. Emmanuel represents the unsaved guy, the one who does not have Jesus. You represent someone who has the Lord. And what we find today is that men or women try to seek love without God. So they'll go and they'll find a gentleman, or the gentleman would come to her, find her, and he would put on an air of love. And the woman then walks out with the man thinking that she is loved. But really, he cannot love her because he must have God first, because God is the definition of love. And so when a man tells a woman that he loves her, really what he's saying is, I God you. And if he says, I God you, you got to say, well, what is the character of God like? And if we go to 1 Corinthians 13, we understand that God, he said, though I have the gift. Yeah. And I can speak all these languages, and I can give my body to be a sacrifice and have not God, It says, I am nothing. Have not love, I am nothing. God suffers long and is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Are you willing to suffer long with that sister? Listen, you say that you God her, but see, God is a holy God. He's a just God. He's a pure God. He's a righteous God. His love is all of that. So when a man comes to you and tells you that he loves you, God better be in between them. That needs to be God in between the I and the you. Woo. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Did y'all pick up what I just put down?
All right.
He says, I God you. You can have a seat. Thank you. I God you. I God you. You cannot give to someone what you do not have. So what people are doing, they're fake it. They will fake it till they make it. They will lust you. They can't say, I love you, but I lust you. That's the best that they can do without God, because God is love. That's what the definition needs to be. Not based on secular humanistic philosophy. Not based on how you feel, because feelings may come and go. Guess what? You get married about 2 or 3 weeks later, the feelings of love are going to be challenged. And what men say about love is going to be challenged. But when you understand love from God's perspective, you understand that I love her unconditionally. She doesn't have to be perfect. She doesn't have to dot every I and cross every T, because my love for her is agapeo. It's an unconditional love that's willing to sacrifice, to stay in there, to stick with it. Yes. Without God, no man has the capacity to love. And if a man tells you that he loves you, he must have a reference point for love, which should be God. Secondly, the word of God is God's love's letter to us in the flesh. The word of God is God's love letter to each of us in the flesh. Look at verse number 9 of our text. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, I want us to do an object lesson today. Actually, we're going to do some homework. Go to the Gospel of John. I want you to see how love was made manifest to us. John chapter 1. I'm going to read it to you. Let's read it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? And the Word
was God.
What does it say? All things, and without him was not anything made that was made. Let's go down to verse 14. What does it say? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, you got that? The word of God is the love of God in the flesh. Okay, so everywhere you see the word, we understand that Jesus is the word. The word in the Greek is logos. And we understand that Jesus is the word. So everywhere you see Jesus, everywhere you see word, we're going to replace word with Jesus. Let's do it. In the beginning was the
Jesus.
Word, and the was with God, and the
Jesus
was God. Verse 14. And
Jesus.
What?
Jesus.
Who was made flesh?
Jesus.
And Jesus was made flesh, and we beheld the glory of who? The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, so now we understand that the Word is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word, but we also know that according to 1 John 4:8, that Jesus is God, and that God is love. So everywhere you see the word, Word, we're going to put the word love, because they're the same. Can I get a witness in the house of God? So let's do it again. In the beginning was
love,
and the
love
was with God, and the was God. And verse number 14, and the was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld, woo, his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of love, full of truth. So when you got love, you got the word. And when you got the word, you got Jesus. And when you got Jesus, you got love. And all that is working together for our good. God says, I got you in the flesh. I just didn't talk about coming. I didn't send nobody else. He said, I'm going to come. I'm going to wrap myself up to demonstrate to you how much I love you. Did y'all see it? Did the light bulb come on? In the beginning was the Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the love. And the love was with God. And the love was God. And love was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's the gospel according to love. Genesis 3 and 15. Let us not misrepresent what love really looks like. Yes, Jesus was a love letter come to life. The word of God is a letter of good news about how much God loves us and is willing to prove it with his very own life. I remember the movie The Wiz when I was coming up. Y'all remember Miss Eveline, the Wicked Witch of the West? I think it was the West. And she had a song. She comes storming into the factory. And she sits on the throne. And then she begins to sing a song. And the song said, "Don't nobody bring me no bad news. No bad news." Oh, you got to understand this. She says, "I'll make you an offer, child, that you cannot refuse. Don't nobody bring me no bad news. No bad news." Jesus says, "Listen, I'll make you an offer that you can't refuse." He says, "I'm not going to bring you no bad news." He says, "I'm going to bring you the good news." Where the devil brings bad news, where the world brings bad news, where sin and death and self brings bad news, Jesus says, "No, I'm not going to bring you bad news. I'm going to bring you the good news. The good news is that I'm going to go to the cross of Calvary, that they're going to stretch me wide and hang me high, and then I'm going to bow my head and die. I'm going to be put in a grave, and in 3 days I'm going to rise up. That's the good news, with all power in my hand, all glory to the Father, all salvation to the soul. That's good news." Yes. Oh, Eveline, it's interesting that Eveline said, Eve herself said, "Don't bring me no bad news." Hallelujah. Yes, I know y'all like The Wiz. But then I can't stop there, because I love this guy who used to sing some beautiful songs, had a very beautiful voice. His name was Sam Cooke. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Sam Cooke. He had a song. Said, "Ain't that what? Good news. Ain't that good news?" Listen to the words of the song. It says, I got a letter just the other day telling me that she was on her way and she wants me to meet her at the station. Ain't that good news, man? Ain't that news? In the letter, she told me that she still loved me. Ain't that good news, man? Ain't that news? In the letter, she told me that she loved me. Ain't that good news, man? Ain't that news? But I come by the church to tell you today that we got a letter from our Savior, and he tells us that he loves us. Ain't that good news? Ain't that news? In the letter, he said he would never leave me, nor will he forsake me. Ain't that good news, man? Ain't that news? In the letter, he says I'm redeemed. In the letter, he says I'm beloved. In the letter, he said that I'm more than a conqueror. Ain't that good news, man? Ain't that news? He said in the letter, he says, "I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the
in the end. Ain't that good news? Ain't that news? In the letter, Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. Ain't that good news? Ain't that news? Oh, Sam Cooke, you didn't know what you were saying when you sung that song, but we got a Savior who loves us. He loves you so much. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son. Now see, we have a problem. Oftentimes we read that scripture and we say, oh, God so loved the world. But see, the biggest word that we miss is the S and the O. The S and the O. That's what did it. He said, I so. As a matter of fact, I want y'all to do this with me. On the count of three, you're going to take a deep breath and you're going to say as loud as you can and for as long as you can, so. Are y'all ready? One, two, for God, so. Loved you. See, it's the S and the O that makes the difference. Because of the soul. It's the oh, I'm giving up everything I got. All that is within me. I love you. I'll go to Calvary because I so good God Almighty love you. You got to emphasize that soul. You got to shout on that soul. Because the soul is what changed your soul. The soul was the gospel of love in the flesh. Yes. Oh, never read that S and the O the same again. Can I get a witness? Yes. Hallelujah. The S and the O. Third, the gospel of love was preached on the cross. The gospel of love was preached on the cross. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so, if God so, to his last breath loved you. He says we ought to also love one another. We ought to so love one another. When we so love one another, we don't give up on a brother or sister. We don't talk about them and condemn them like they were a dirty rag on the road. When we so love our wives, when we so love our children, when we so love our neighbor as God love, we're able to ascend to that agape love, not based on man's standards, not based on any condition that they're able to meet, because we understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and only God's grace and truth will uphold us and lift us up. When we love on that level, we learn to love like God loves. Yes. When we preach the word, we preach the truth of the gospel according to love. It has been said that a sermon seen speaks louder than a sermon heard. Let me say that again. A sermon seen speaks louder than a sermon heard. Jesus wants us to reflect and radiate the image of his love, to be a sermon in human flesh that he placed in us, to be love in the flesh, love in the world, love in the home, love from brother to brother, from sister to sister, according to his righteousness, loving one another just as Jesus loved. And he says we ought to preach that love. And if you take the P off of preach, what does it spell? And if you take the R off of reach, what does it spell? What does God want us to do with his love? He wants us to preach, to reach each. So I say to you, preach. Preach with your life. You don't need a pulpit to preach, because we're all called to preach the gospel. And if possible, and when necessary, we ought to use words. Did y'all just pick up what I put down? See, we are so focused on preaching, but we are all called to be written epistles. We're all called to be books written in the hearts of men. Love written and radiating in the hearts of men. You wait on the preacher to preach. God says, I called you to do it. He says, I said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He wasn't talking to Paul. He just wasn't talking to the 12 apostles. He was talking to disciples to fulfill the Great Commission. We all have the capacity to do that. And then he calls some to the sacred office to preach what you are already doing, to be a witness to what you're doing on a daily basis in your marketplace ministry. I have a saying, every saint is a missionary, and every home is a mission field. When we begin to think like that, we'll begin to love our neighbors by sharing the gospel with them. And we'll begin to preach with our very own lives, whether it be giving somebody a glass of water, you're preaching. Whether it be playing at the piano, you're preaching. Whether you're playing on the drums, you're preaching. Everything that has breath, let it preach. Let it praise the Lord. Let it exalt. Let it preach to reach each. Everything that we do in life, whether I'm standing at the door ushering, I'm preaching. When somebody comes into the church, I'm preaching them into the kingdom of God by welcoming them into the kingdom of God. So I say to you, preach. Preach to reach every person that you talk to. You say, well, where's my mission field? One day I was talking to a 12-year-old girl who was a missionary. And everybody in the group, you know, all these pastors and missionaries and parents were talking about their mission fields. And I had the audacity to ask this 12-year-old girl, where was her mission field? And she said at the tip of my nose, I said, what you mean by that? She said, wherever I am, that's my mission field. Come on, somebody. Wherever I am, whoever is standing in front of me, I need to be thinking about how God wants to use me to preach. And sometimes we use words, because a sermon seen speaks louder than a sermon what? Heard. So preach. God says to you, Jesus says to you, preach. And as I close, I'm reminded of a few words of that old sonnet by Elizabeth Browning that said, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depths and breadths and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. And oh, I can hear my Jesus saying, oh, New Berean Baptist Church, oh, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love you with an inseparable love. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I love you with agape love. There is no condition that you need to do to earn my love. I love you anyhow, anyway. He says, New Berean, I love you with a redeeming love for whatever situation that you're in, because my love is unfailing. My love has the ability to deliver you and to bring you back into harmony with me. He says, I love you with that redeeming love. He says, I love thee with a perfect love, a perfecting love, a pure love, and a providing love. God says, I love you, and I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Oh, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. There's so many ways that Jesus can share his love and how he loves us. He says, I love you with a lifting love, for the songwriter said unto thee, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Yes, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love you by the way of the cross for all of your days. The gospel according to love. I so love you, New Berean Baptist Church. God bless you.